Lord Heavenly Father, we thank you for bringing us all here safely, Lord. We pray that you just continue to bless each and every one of us, Lord. Lord, we ask you just watch over the service, Lord. Pray that the pastor brings the word forth, Lord, and you bless every and each household in here, Lord God. Lord, now we just ask that you bless the offering, Lord. Bless everyone who has. Bless everyone who has not to give, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen.
Oh, thank you for giving to the Lord. I'm a life that was changed. Oh, thank you for giving to the Lord. I am so glad you gave. Oh, thank you for giving to the Lord. I'm a life that was changed. Oh, thank you for giving to the Lord. I am so glad you gave. Amen. Thank you, Lord Jesus. So glad you gave. He gave his life for us. Thank you, Lord Jesus. You know, prayer service this morning, Brother Robles sang part of this song. He read part of this in the Bible, and my wife had written it out for me to sing today, so we'll sing it anyway. Within me, as our pastor comes. And renew the right spirit within me. Faith in me, a clean heart. Oh, God. And renew the right spirit within me. Oh, cast me not away from thy presence, O Lord. Take not thy Holy Spirit from me. Oh, restore unto me the joy of thy salvation, and renew the right spirit within me. Create in me a clean heart, oh God, and renew the right spirit within me. Oh, create in me a clean heart, oh God. And renew the right spirit within me. Oh, cast me not away from thy presence, O Lord. Take not thy Holy Spirit from me. Restore unto me the joy of thy salvation, oh, and renew the right spirit within me. Oh, create in me
clean heart. Oh, God, and renew the right spirit within me. Oh, create in me a clean heart. Oh, God, and renew the right spirit within me. Oh, cast me not away from thy presence, O Lord. Take not thy Holy Spirit from me. Oh, restore unto me the joy of my salvation. Oh, and renew the right spirit within me. Oh, create in me a clean heart, oh God, and renew the right spirit within me. Create in me a clean heart.
Cast me not away from thy presence, O Lord. Take not thy Holy Spirit from me. Oh, restore unto me the joy, and renew the right spirit. And cast me not away. Oh, cast me not away from thy presence, oh Lord. Take not restore unto me the joy. Hallelujah. Renew the right spirit within me. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Well, it's good to be in the house of the Lord once more. Amen. We have a prayer request that we want to acknowledge here. Amen. And I want to thank God for the song service and special that went forth today. I think I got one more song that I want to try to sing. And amen. We'll go into the word. Let's just read this prayer request. It says, please keep in prayer my daughter, Rosanna, that the Lord heal her body. We know that he heals all our diseases. This is from Sister Robles, just asking for prayer for her daughter Rosanna. So we want to take that before God's throne this morning. Amen. Let's just bow our heads. Amen. As we approach God's great throne. Father, we come on behalf of Sister Robles, her daughter Rosanna, who needs a healing touch. God, we ask that you minister to her body right now, that you would touch her, Lord God, in the only way that you can, that you would just strengthen her. You know the condition, and in between the condition and the patient, we place the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. For we believe that you were wounded for our transgressions, you were bruised for our iniquities, the chastisement of our peace is upon you. With your stripes, we are healed. We believe it, God, And we just pray, Lord, that you would just get the glory out of this situation. You are the God that healeth all of our diseases. God, we not only lift Rosanna up, but every believer here suffering, Father, in their bodies. They have family members suffering in their bodies, Lord. We just ask that you would intervene. Father, it's just a sign that, Lord, these bodies, amen, are desiring a change, to go back into a condition, amen, from whence they came, where there's no more sickness, no more pain. Lord, none of these things, we don't have to worry about that. We desire to have that body change someday, and Lord, we're living in a day where we can expect it. One of these great mornings, Lord, you'll call for us. Will rise, the dead in Christ will rise, and Lord, we which are alive and remain shall be caught up to meet them in the air, and we're looking forward to that great day. In Jesus' name we pray, amen, amen. Let's just give, amen, a hand of praise to the Lord for what already been done. Hallelujah. And let's just sing a little chorus of this song. He's the God that healeth all of our diseases, and he speaks these words over you. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. I'm the Lord that healeth thee. Say, I am the God that healeth thee. I am the Lord, your healer. Oh, I send my word. Oh, to thee. I am the Lord, your healer. Oh, I am the God that healeth thee, that healeth thee. I am the Lord, yes, I am. Oh, I send my word to heal your disease. Oh, I am the Lord, your healer. Come on. You are the God that healeth me. You heal me, Jesus. You are the Lord. Oh, yes, you are. Come on, say you are the Lord that healeth me, that healeth me. You are the Lord, my healer. Oh, you sent your word just to heal. You are the Lord. Come on, you send your word, say, to heal my disease. You are the Lord, my healer. Amen. Praise the Lord. Just keep playing softly. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. I was at work just a few weeks ago, and they were singing a song, and I can't remember it. Once I get it, I'll be presented to the church. But I remember the scripture that flowed with this song as they sang it, and I just wanted to read it to you. It's out of the book of Zephaniah, amen, chapter 3. It's out of the book of Zephaniah, chapter 3. I just want to read this quickly to you, and amen. I have another song that I want to try to sing this morning before we go into the Word of God. Zephaniah chapter 3, and it starts at verse 14. It says, sing, O daughter of Zion, shout. O Israel, be glad and rejoice with all the heart, O daughter of Jerusalem. The Lord hath taken away thy judgments. He hath cast out thine enemy. King of Israel, even the Lord is in the midst of thee. Thou shalt not see evil anymore. I like that. Thou shalt not see evil anymore. In that day it shall be said to Jerusalem, fear thou not, and to Zion, let not thine hands be slack. The Lord thy God in the midst of thee is mighty. Anybody believe that? Not only that, he will save. He will rejoice over thee with joy. He will rest in his love. He will joy over thee with singing. Amen. I will gather them that are sorrowful for the solemn assembly, who are of thee, to whom the reproach of it was a burden. Behold, at that time I will undo all that afflict thee, and I will save her that halteth, and gather her that was driven out. And I will get them praise and fame in every land where they have been put to shame. At that time will I bring you again, even in the time that I gather you, for I will make you a name and a praise among all people of the earth, when I turn back your captivity before your eyes, saith the Lord. Thank God for his word. Thank God for his word. Praise the Lord. Amen. Amen. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Glory to God. And as they were just reading that scripture, and amen, this one particular man began to give a just something that he had in his heart. And he was thinking about where the scripture said, he will joy over thee with singing. And he was just kind of sharing from his heart to say, you know, it just reminded me of watching little children grow up. And if you've had the pleasure of having a baby, and amen, and putting that baby in the crib at night, and sometimes when that baby go to crying, and you know, mama or daddy just begin to sing over that child, just trying to calm it down, and you know, just trying to create an atmosphere. And you know, I remember one of the songs that you know, all those, you know, the hush little baby, don't you cry, mama's gonna sing your lullaby. You know, and I mean, all those little songs like that they just begin to sing. And I mean, some of y'all still remember the songs that your mama sung over you while you was a little child. But just as mom and daddy would do that, God does the same thing to us. Amen. And I just feel like this song right here is just appropriate, because as we're going through different things in our bodies, amen, we need to have him sing over us. And he says these words to you today. He says, I am the God that healeth thee. I am the Lord, your healer. Hallelujah. I sent my word to heal your disease. I am the God. I am the God, your healer. Come on, sing it one more time. I'm the God that healeth thee. I am the God that healeth thee. Hallelujah. I am the Lord, your healer. I sent my word to heal your disease. I am the Lord. Bless the name of Jesus. That's what he sings. Now we sing back to him. You are the God that healeth. You are that healing me. You are the Lord, my healer. Healer, come on, you send your word, say, to heal my disease. You are the Lord, my healer. Come on, one more time, you send your word, just to heal. The Lord, my healer.
Oh, blessed be the name of the Lord. Come on, give him praise.
Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Glory to God. Amen. 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 Just turn around and greet your neighbor and say, so good to see you this morning. Put those hands together. Let's praise the Lord. All right, I command my hands to praise the Lord. I command my hands to praise the Lord. I command my hands to praise the Lord. Come on, somebody. I command my hands to praise. Say, hands, hands, got to praise the Lord. Come on, say, hands, you got to praise. Come on, say, hands, you got to praise the Lord. Say, yay. Ooh, I command my feet to praise the Lord. Come on, somebody. To praise the Lord. Say, I command my feet to praise the Lord. Come on, say, hallelujah. Hey, feet, you got to praise the Lord. I command my heart to praise the Lord. Say, yeah, I command my heart, oh my. Well, I command my heart, yeah, yeah. Say, heart, heart, yeah.
Amen. Even when you don't feel like it, you still got to praise the Lord. Amen, amen. It's all right. Thank God. We want to appreciate, amen, this morning, some of our guests. We have Natasha. Just lift your hand, Natasha. God bless you. Good to have Natasha with us. Amen. Jerry. It's Jerry. All right. God bless you, Jerry. So good to have you with us. I got Shelda. All right. God bless you, Sister Shelda. Camille. All right, Camille. God bless you. Good to have you. And Veslande. All right. God bless you. So good to have you with us on today. Invited by Ashley and Whitney. Amen. We thank God for them. So good to see Sister Diana as well. Amen. In service today. I see ex-co-worker Adrian. So good to have her. Amen. And praise the Lord. I forget the brother's name. Samuel. All right. God bless you. Good to have you with us, Brother Samuel. Amen. On today, God bless you. God bless you. It's Brenda Sarda. All right. Good to have you with us on today. Invited by Brother Caleb. Thank you, Jesus. So good to have all the visitors. Amen. Within our gates. Amen. And those of y'all didn't get a chance to meet him last week, but Brother Malibangwe in the back, amen, he's from South Africa. He's here for the next few months, fellowshipping with us. We thank God to have him, amen, with us on today as well. So praise the Lord, amen. God is a good God, amen. God is good all the time, amen. They say God is good, and all the time. Praise the Lord, praise the Lord. He's worthy of our praise no matter what we're going through. God is still worthy to be praised. No matter what we're facing, God is still worthy to be praised. My, my, my. Well, I'm starting to feel a little bit better. I don't know why, but I'm starting to feel a little bit better. It must be something about coming into the presence of God. Amen. Just get in there and just stay there for a little bit. You'll start to feel a little bit better. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Amen. My, 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 my. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Well, I tell you what. Glory to God. Y'all keep me up here. I'm going to start singing. We even had a concert up here. Amen. I'm just loving the Lord right now. Amen. I'm just loving the Lord. Huh? What's that? Sing another one? Oh, okay. They say sing another one. All right, we're going to sing another one. All right. Okay, we'll do that.
The glory and the honor.
Hallelujah.
Lord, we lift our hands in worship.
Yes.
And we bless your home.
You deserve the glory.
Bless your holy name.
Come on.
You deserve.
hallelujah, 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 hallelujah. Oh, Jesus. Thank you, Lord.
Best thing to do when you're going through, just praise God. That's the when you read the book of Job, Job was messed up. Lost his animals, amen, lost his children, and all the bad news that was coming Job's way, Job yet found within his heart, amen, or a time or space where he could just bow his head to the ground and just begin to praise Almighty God. And we all have to take our example from that. No matter what you're going through, find something just to give God praise for. Just find something. Stop complaining and just start praising. Before you know it, you'll praise your way right out of that situation, right out of that circumstance. Amen. Hallelujah. Glory, 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 glory. Thank you, Jesus. Amen. I forgot the praise report in my office there, but I know that Brother Andrew had put in a praise report. Amen. On behalf of him and Sister Candace, Lord bless them. Amen. With new jobs. And we thank God for that. If I recall correctly, they both start on the same day. Amen. We just appreciate that. And anytime you hear God blessing somebody else, if you're looking for a job, you ought to say, God can do it for me too. Amen. God can do it for me too. So we just appreciate their stand and faith. Amen. And just holding on. And now God has just opened up the door for both of them. And we're grateful for that. Amen. The announcements as well, I forgot in the office, but if I recall correctly, we're going to be doing a play, amen, in December. We're mixing with a couple of the other churches, Brother West Coast Church, Brother Smiley's Church, and Brother Gene's Church, and we're just getting young people from all churches to come together and do this play. We're going to have our first rehearsal tomorrow, amen, at 7:30. We invite everybody Monday night, 7:30. Now, we're just for the young people now, what we are looking, we'll probably get so many from our church, like I said, so many from the other churches. So you all just please just bear with us. Everybody can't have a major part. Amen. And we want to just try to spread that around amongst all the churches. But there's something that you can do in the play to make it successful. So we just want to invite you to come and we'll get everything worked out on tomorrow. And if you want to help out with, you know, some of the, I'm sure that they'll get very creative and want some, not just props, costumes, whatever, you know, they'll get very creative and take you back to Bible days and all that. So if you want to help out with that, certainly we can use your help in whatever way, amen, to help out. So don't forget that. And there was something, Sister Marvia, I did talk to Sister Marvia. She sent her greetings. After the storm Sandy went through the northeast coast there, I talked to her and she said they were doing just fine up there. Also in Jamaica, her children were fine. So all is well there. So we thank God for that. Amen. Amen. Praise the Lord. Well, let's just get our Bibles, amen, and turn to a scripture here. Lord, help us, amen, as we just try to take our thought a little further. Appreciate, amen. We're going to Ruth chapter 3. I want to appreciate certainly our brother Reginald from last week, amen, who spoke for us. He did a wonderful job just ministering on the importance of the blood. Just a really, really good job on that. And then on Friday night, we had Brother Brown from St. Augustine. He came and he preached on the right mental attitude. And we had a good time with that as well. And, you know, just really some simple truths that we just need to remind ourselves of. But we're grateful for both of those sermons that went forth. Amen. Here, let's just pick up in the book of Ruth. And I ask everyone to stand that can stand. Amen. As we just read the word of God. Amen. Here in the book of Ruth, chapter 3. Amen. Let's just pick up verse 4 and I'll just read a couple verses, then I'll let you be seated and we'll go back and just kind of bring people forward. Let's start at verse 4. It says, and it shall be when he lieth down that thou shalt mark the place where he shall lie. And thou shalt go in and uncover his feet and lay thee down, and he will tell thee what thou shalt do. And she said unto her, all that thou sayest unto me I will do. And she went down unto the floor and did according to all that her mother-in-law bade her. And when Boaz had eaten and drunk and his heart was merry, he went to lie down at the end of the heap of corn. And she came softly and uncovered his feet and laid her down. And it came to pass at midnight that the man was afraid and turned himself. And behold, a woman lay at his feet. And he said, who art thou? And she answered, I am Ruth, thine handmaid. Spread therefore thy skirt over thine handmaid. For thou art a near kinsman. Lord, and a blessing to the reading of his word. Let's just breathe the word of prayer. Amen. And we'll go forward. Father, we thank you for your word we've read. Help God us to just grasp and understand what is being spoken here in this particular chapter of the Bible. Help us, Lord, to not only, Lord, just read it, but to to apply it to our current condition and our situation. We just trust, God, that you get the glory out of all that would be shared here today. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. Amen. God bless you. You can be seated. Just to try to go back and recap and bring some of the saints forward to where we are. The Lord has been carrying us through a little journey here through the book of Ruth, amen, over the last few weeks. And certainly I have been blessed by, you know, just the little nuggets that God has showed us. But as we go back just to Ruth chapter 1, and I just like talking about this, amen, because Ruth is a representative of every one of us in here today. Amen. Ruth was a Gentile, who married into the Israelite nation. You know, her husband that she married, but her husband ended up dying. You know, the family, amen, of Naomi and her husband, they left during a time where there was famine in the land. They went down into Moab. They went down into Moab. And while they were down there, both Naomi's sons died. They married and they died. They died. Also, the father died there in Moab. And it come a time where they were leaving. Naomi and her two daughter-in-laws, Ruth and Orpah, wanted to leave to go back to the land of Israel because God had begun to visit the land of Israel with bread. Amen. This was a prosperous time for the land of Israel. And as they were going back, there was some, you know, a lot of things that we could bring out here. But one of the things that's very clear is that as they were on the way back, Naomi gave them a choice. And I want y'all to stay with me on this because Naomi said, you know, look, I'm a little bit too old to have kids. And it's no way that you can wait this long for me to have a child and then the child grow up and then you, you know, take that child in marriage. It's just going to be, you know, it's going to be way too long of a process. So why don't y'all just stay where you are and go back to Moab and just, you know, just be satisfied with your gods in Moab. Be satisfied with the things that are happening down in Moab. And don't worry about going with me, you know, to Israel. But there were two people there, two daughter-in-laws, and which represents, you know, we got representatives today in the same category. Orpah, amen, her decision at that time was to, I'll go back to, amen, Moab. I'll go back to my false gods. I'll go back to all the things that God pulled me out of, all the things God delivered me from. My decision is to go back. Most of us, amen, it's easy for us to go back to stuff that we're comfortable with. Amen. It's very easy for us, you know, I mean, as, you know, ain't nobody, you know, when you came out your mother's womb, you was already sinning. You know that? Nobody had to teach you how to sin. No, nobody. I mean, that was just your nature. Oh, praise the Lord anyway. You know, I mean, you come out lying. Amen. As a little itty bitty child, you was a liar. Every one of you all in here. I don't care what, I don't care if you was born in Holy Hospital, you were still a liar. And we can test, we can put you to the test now. Amen. But I mean, just the little socket down there, you, but mama asked you, did you go play with that socket? No. Did you eat that cookie? No. I remember in my day, mama used to have the, oh, they don't have this, no, maybe they have it, I don't know if they still do it. But I remember mama used to beat the cake batter. And she had a little machine, and she hit it, and it just be spinning, beating up all the cake batter. Boy, and you know, now you can't put all that's in the bowl inside the oven. So there'd be a little stuff stuck there in that bowl. And now if you eat too much of that, you'll get sick. So mama would tell you, now don't you eat that. But it's something about temptation. Amen. No, I mean, even though you're here, don't eat it. It's just something about temptation that the thing that you can't have, you desire. Oh, praise the Lord. If y'all will work with me, we might preach a little bit today. But everybody have this problem with temptation. Some of us have it with cake batter. Some of us have other things that we fall into. Right? I'm just using cake batter, but I hope you can apply it to whatever. Cause something by temptation. Amen. Some people get tempted to have other people's husbands. Huh? Some people get tempted to have other people's wives. Something that you really can't have. Oh, praise the Lord anyhow. Take somebody else's boyfriend and girlfriend. Come on, somebody. All right, I'm going to stay. I'm going to leave it alone. But that cake batter, amen, from a little itty baby, that cake batter. Now, mama say, don't you touch that cake batter. Mama turn her back, go to the room, talk on the phone. By the time she come back, you got stuff all around your mouth. She asked the question, did you touch that cake batter? Now, evidence showed that you done touched the cake batter. Right? But you a lie anyway, and the reason you lie is to get yourself out of trouble. You start with that, amen, at a young age and try to get yourself out of trouble with a lie, and when you get older, you're still telling lies, trying to get out of trouble. Where people be in court lying, in court. They done swore that they'll tell the truth and nothing but the truth, put their hand on the Bible, and boy, I didn't have nothing to do with that, sir. No, we have evidence. Somebody made that up, sir. That's not me. That lying spirit, you got to get a hold. I mean, I'm telling you, you don't want a lying spirit. Brother Branham said, I'd rather be a friend with a drunkard than to be a friend with a liar. Nobody trusts liars. Nobody. If I was a lying preacher, none of y'all would want to come to church. I mean, you want people to tell you the truth. Even if it hurts. Tell the truth, right? Amen. They say tell the truth and shame the devil. Amen. Because he's the father of lies. Amen. So, you know, here, you know, we see in this story, Orpah say, I'm going back to the way things used to be. I know what it was like there. I mean, you know, some of us, we got to be willing to take a step of faith. I can work with this today. Even as you come into the word of God and you hear things that you never heard before. See, this is where Ruth was. Ruth was going into a place that she'd never gone before. She was going amongst people that she'd never been before. She was going to see some things that she'd never seen before. That's what happens when we come to the message of the hour. When we come to the truth, we hear things that we never heard before. Like I can tell y'all one thing that most of y'all probably never heard. What really happened in the Garden of Eden? What really happened? Now, I'm going to tell you what they told me when I was coming up in church. They said that Eve ate an apple from a tree. Anybody ever heard that? Just lift your hands. What about apricot? They told me apricot, too. They say Eve ate an apple from the tree, and that was a tree that she wasn't supposed to. That temptation got her. And she ate that apple from that tree, and that's what caused all the trouble. I said, wow. So if eating apples from a tree caused us all to get in trouble, then maybe we should all stop eating. That makes sense, right? Well, reality says Eve ate something from this tree and ended up pregnant. Right? So now I don't know any apple tree. I haven't seen one yet that I can go eat or have somebody else eat. Adam wasn't going to get pregnant, you know. Well, it looked like y'all with me now. I got you. I just set you up. You with me now. Because if Adam ate from this tree, he couldn't have no kids. But if Eve ate from this tree, things could happen to her. Right? So, you know, I mean, they told us that they had apple, but now it's no way. I mean, if you just think about it, it's no way that people can eat, amen, a natural fruit and get pregnant. Come on, somebody. Y'all stay with me today. Stay with me today. Amen. There's no way you can eat a natural fruit and get pregnant. So it had to be something else that happened in the garden besides somebody eating the apple. Well, if you understand how people get pregnant today, then you know what happened in the garden. Because it don't change. Amen. Eating the apple made Eve realize she was naked. Well, pass the apples again. People will recognize it again. Evidently, eating the apple don't do those things. Take the Holy Ghost. See, I mean, there's so many other things. I mean, another thing that people told us, you know, oh, can I just be honest? Hey, man, they you know, y'all heard that song, God in Three Persons, Blessed Trinity. But that, you know, oh, praise God from whom all blessings flow. Praise him, all creatures here below. Boy, when they get that thing working, praise him above, ye heavenly hosts. Praise Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. We were singing it, boy. And what? That's not the same one. The other one is Blessed Trinity. How'd that one go? Yeah, merciful and mighty, right? God in three persons. Blessed Trinity. Boy, we used to sing it in church. Boy, we had that thing. And that hymn get to rocking like that. Boy, holy, holy, holy. Boy, we would sing it, boy. It sounds so good, don't it? Merciful and mighty. Early in the morning, my song shall rise to thee. I wish I knew the rest of it. But I know they keep getting to the point where they get to that part. God in three persons, blessed Trinity. I used to sing, I said, boy, that's all right. But then I found out God is one person. The Lord our God is one God, right? And I read that in the Bible. And then I think I read in the New Testament, say one Lord, one faith. One baptism, uh-oh. You know, in the church, we got multiple baptisms. You know the two baptisms that one, or two of them that we, that's, now they got problems with face forward or backward, or they have sprinkle. Oh, hallelujah. If you go to some churches as a little baby, while you're still a lying baby, we just sprinkle this water on you. Just throw this one on you. You're going to be safe for the rest of your life. You can drink. You can smoke. You can do whatever you want to do, but you got some water on you. No, you don't need water. You need blood. 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 The blood of Jesus is what's going to wash you and make you clean. But, you know, I mean, we was told these things, and, you know, we come to find out, no, and these two different baptisms, well, one of them is baptized in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost. Then they get to the book of Acts and they say, baptize in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Well, we got to, because some people, Peter was wrong when he said that. Now, wait a minute. If Peter was wrong, then the rest of the Bible going to be wrong too. Something is wrong with this picture. We need a revelation. We need an understanding as to what was God trying to say that. What we found out is that if God is one person, not three people, just God in multiple offices. Oh, can I just put it like that? I'm the same person, but I got multiple offices. I'm a husband. I'm a father. Huh? I'm a son-in-law. I'm a pastor. But I'm still the same Jack Duff. Right? And that's all it was with God. I mean, he was Father, he was Son, and he was Holy Ghost. But it's still the same Lord Jesus Christ. That's why we baptize in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, because it's one person, one God, one Father, one Son, who's the same person, the Lord Jesus Christ. Oh, we just needed revelation. They told us these things, and we just didn't have any clarity. But see, this is what happens when I decide if I want to be like Orpah, I'm going to stay with what I got. I'm going to stay with what I got. I'm used to this. But God looking for some roots. People that's not willing to go on by faith to see what else God got. I'm going amongst people I've never been before. I'm going to hear some things that I've never heard before. I'm going to see some things that I never saw before. But I'm going by faith anyway. She told Naomi, when Naomi tried to convince her, go back now. She said, no. Where you go, I'm going to go. Your God going to be my God. Your people going to be my people. Where you die, I'm going to die. God looking for people to make clean cut decisions. Just like that. Well, it's a step of faith. I ain't never done nothing like I'm leaving my mama behind. I'm leaving my daddy behind. Everything that I'm attached to, I'm leaving it behind, and I'm going on. Now, you got some orphans that's going to go back, but you got some roots that's going to go forward. God talking to them roots. We work with that, and, you know, we come to find out as Ruth made that decision. There in chapter 2, Ruth was a man. She had to go to work. They had nothing while they were in the land. And the Bible says that she just happened to find herself in the field of Boaz. And as she just happened to be in Boaz's field, there was a law with, all the strangers could go into the corners, especially at harvest time. They can go into the corners of the field and get some of the goods out of the corners of the field. That was a law that they had. But when Boaz laid eyes on Ruth, he told his reapers, say, now, look, I don't want her working in the corners of the field. I want her to work in the middle of the field, right behind you all. And as you all get a handful of wheat, I want you to make sure you drop something intentionally for her. See, I like this part because I believe God is still giving out intentional blessings. Things that he just wants you to walk right into. He puts it there just for you. I just like that. I like that. And I'm expecting as the bride of Jesus Christ, I'm expecting to walk into an intentional blessing. Amen. Every morning I wake up, I'm expecting a blessing. Amen. Every time I come to church, I'm expecting a blessing. When I leave church, I'm expecting a blessing. I don't care what the devil doing, I'm expecting blessings. Oh, hallelujah, somebody. I'm talking about something intentional that God gonna put in your way. Woo, hallelujah. I was sharing that this week with a brother. He called me up and you know, we was talking on a little something there and I just text him back. I say, brother, just pray with me about this situation. I say, I sure will. I say, and I pray that as Boaz told the reapers to just drop something intentionally for Ruth, I pray that the angels of God would drop something intentionally for you. Well, by the time he read that, he said, oh, hallelujah. God bless you, brother. I appreciate that. See, you need some of that sometimes. We all need it. We go through a lot. So sometimes God got some intentional blessings. Oh, blessed be the name of the Lord. I love God. I love God. But as we keep following the story, we get here to chapter 3. This is the end of the harvest season. Ruth and Naomi came back at the beginning of the season. She'd been working in the field for quite some time. Boaz noticed her. But now, you know, the end of the season. So when we look at the end of the season, maybe Ruth won't be needed much in the field anymore. So this is a time where they're going to winnow, amen, the barley here. And what the winnowing was, and I believe this is a winnowing time right now. What they did when they winnowed the barley, you know, the wheat, amen, would be mixed up with the chaff. And they would have to take a little instrument and they have to make sure it's at a time of the year where the wind was blowing. Oh, hallelujah. I guess that's why the Lord put in my heart. I was coming back a couple weeks ago and I was telling my wife this old song that we used to sing, amen, and say, we don't sing it no more, but I like to say, the wind is blowing again. The wind is blowing again. Oh, just like the day of Pentecost, the wind is blowing again. Well, we used to sing it. Say, the wind is blowing again. Oh, the wind is blowing again. Say now, just like the day of Pentecost, the wind is blowing again. Man, we sung it. We had church. But at the time that the wind was blowing, they would take this instrument and lift up the chaff and the wheat. And the wheat was little seeds, so when they lifted up, the wheat was strong enough just to fall right back in place. But the chaff, the stuff that you don't need in your life, the stuff that is just weighing you down, the chaff in the wind would get blown away. The wind need to blow again to blow some of the chaff out of your life. Let the chaff go downstream and let the wheat stay right where it's planted. Oh, hallelujah. So that was this time of year for them where the chaff was blowing away, but the wheat was staying right where it needed to stay. And after they were just
pick it and this one, pick it and that one, just go down and just stay right here. Boy, they had a big pile of it. And there Boaz looked at all his wheat and he just began to lay down by that. Boy, he was rejoicing. And they had a celebration because they knew their crops had produced. Now they can make money in the market. And man, they would you know, be okay. See? Just like a man landing a good business deal today. He just starts smiling. Boy, I done sold that. But my, are we going to be all right? I sold it, you know. Amen. This was a good time of year. So, you know, at this time they would celebrate. They would drink. They would eat. They would do all of this. And Naomi said, now look, Ruth, I need you to do something. In verse, let me just go back to this. Verse 3 here in Ruth 3. She made the comment here. It says, wash thyself therefore and anoint thee and put thy raiment upon thee and get thee down to the floor, but make not thyself known unto the man until he shall have done eating and drinking. Now, as I was just kind of looking at that, when it says, wash thyself therefore and anoint thee and put thy raiment upon thee. Now, you know, Ruth, now you got to make sure you got the right picture here. Ruth is a woman with a very good reputation. Very good. Can I just be honest? Ruth don't have a reputation from going from man to man. That's not Ruth's reputation. Oh, praise the Lord. You know, it used to be a time, oh, God help us, Lord. It used to be a time that being a virgin was a good thing. I'm going to tell you, it's still a time for that. Amen. Honey, you ain't got to be all used up, washed up, messed up before you get married. And then look, oh, God, if that boy can't take care of you, let that boy go. Wait till you can find somebody can take care of you. And if you ain't ready to take care of no house, let it go. Amen. Ain't nothing but the truth, right? Amen. You ain't ready to be somebody's mama. Amen. Let it go. Let that relationship go. It's not doing you no good right now. You get emotionally attached at levels that you don't need to be attached at a very young age. Amen. Lights. It ain't nothing but the truth. People bring all this baggage into their relationships, and had they just avoided some stuff when they was younger, they wouldn't have the problems they got today. Amen. Ain't nothing but the truth. Amen. Every person you get attached with, you taking that person with you as you go forward in life. Every one of them. Those memories gonna go with you. Those thoughts are gonna go with you. That's why you don't need to create them right now. Amen. Look, just wait on it. God going to send you somebody. I promise you God will send you somebody. God had a Boaz for Ruth. Amen. He might have been a little older, but hey, praise the Lord anyway. Oh, my God. Oh, God, help us, Lord. And when you get, oh, God. Amen. I'm going to just leave it alone. I got to be careful about some of the things I say because, you know, they have a saying in the world that half a man is better than no man at all. In some part, that might be okay. But God want to give y'all a whole man. God want to give y'all sisters a whole man. Amen. And if he ain't serving God, he is not whole. He is not whole. He's a half a man if he ain't got God in his life. I'm just telling you that right now. Amen. Amen. Look, praise God. You see, if you get a man that got God in his life, he's gonna know how to treat you. If he love God, if he love God, he'll love you. Amen. If he don't love God, he can't love you. Amen. Amen. Young man, you look for a woman that love God. If she'll love God, she'll love you. If she'll be true to God, she'll be true to you. Man, you ain't got to go to work. Call him back home. Oh God, help us, Lord. I mean, you at work and as soon as you call him back home. You where you told me you was gonna be? Yeah, I'm here. You know, I mean, you can't trust that home. You know, here she's working on your nerves. I just want to be an at home mom. And as soon as you leave to go to work, she done put the babies asleep and she got somebody tipping through the back door. Hey, y'all better be careful with this. Look, if she'll tip out on you, I mean, you can see her tipping now. She gonna be is she tipping to get to you? I might as well just tell the truth. If she, you got her to sneak out the window for you. Boy, you thought you was all that. Man, you just a play that's been used in the playbook. That's all. I'm just telling you, if she'll tip for you now, she'll tip later. That's why you better make sure she got God in her life. Honey, if she don't want to meet, if he don't want to meet your daddy, he also ain't gonna want to meet the next woman's husband either. All right, you settle on that. If he running from your daddy, you watch him. Amen. We ain't need to see your daddy. And then not only, oh Lord, why am I out here, Lord? Then on top of that, you know, and if he bold enough, right, to tell you, well, who your daddy? He better watch how he come towards me. I go upside his head. If you bring a man like that home, somebody need to go upside your head. If that man won't respect your daddy, how he gonna respect you? If he won't respect your mama, how he gonna respect you? We need to hear it like this. I mean, people done got away from these type of things. There used to be a time they'll go home. Don't pull up to the house blowing your horn talking about, come out. Don't do that. That's a lack of respect. He ain't got sense enough to come and knock on the door and ask for you to come out. He blowing the horn and you are texting you while he outside. You running out. I got to go. No, you ain't got to go nowhere. Sit down. Sit down. Ain't nothing but the truth anyhow. I mean, people need to hear this nowadays. They need to hear it. I mean, you know, the young people have lost the respect. Look, if they won't respect their parents, they won't respect your parents either. Amen. Watch how they talk to their mom and their daddy. If they tell their mama to sit down, it's going to be a matter of time they'll be telling you the same thing. Get over there and sit down. I thought you loved me. And then you want to come back to mom and daddy. I'm going back into the Bible. It's a shame before God, church. But, you know, these what we're seeing here in Scripture, these characters that we're seeing, they type various things that are happening here in our lives today. When Ruth was told to put on her garments and, hey, man, you know, get yourself dressed up nice, put on your raiment, anoint yourself. And I just, we read this in Bible study a few weeks ago. We need to be anointed with the rose of Sharon, with the lily of the valley. The reason that you anoint yourself with perfumes is because you want to make yourself smell a little bit better when you go on before the public, right? Amen. I mean, if you've been working all day and musty and all that, you don't want to get in nobody's presence. I'm getting ready to set you up for something. Because when you've been in sin, you get musty, you get messed up, you get ugly, you don't want to go to church. Because you don't want to come into the presence of the Lord. Right? You want to dodge church because you musty. All you need is a little opium from the lily of the valley. All you need is a little bit of rose of Sharon. Anoint yourself with that, and then you can come before the presence of the Lord. Ruth had to be anointed. Ruth had to put on clothes. Now notice, Naomi told her to put on clothes. Now, today, in order to get a man's attention, people are taking off clothes. There's a problem with this. Put on clothes. Don't take off clothes. If you got a man looking at you because you done took everything off, you got a problem on your hands. Amen. If he won't love you because you're looking holy, something wrong. Oh, my God, I might as well just say it. I'm out here now. I might as well say these things. No, you can take a little bit of that off, and you can take a little bit of, you ain't got to do all that. I mean, let it come up a little higher. Make it a little tighter. If you got a man doing that, he got a lust spirit on him. And if he looking at you like that, look, you ain't no, what you see in the magazine is not real. And you need to tell him that what you're looking at in the magazines is not real. That ain't how people look for real. They have edited that and made it look that way. And now you desiring something out of a magazine. You ain't going to get that. Oh, and you might as well tell him the truth. Oh, Lord Jesus. I'm going to just stay out of this. I'm going to stay out of it. I'm staying out of it. We going after the wrong things. Young man, look for character. Amen. Look for character. Amen. If you look for character, Lord, I don't want to say that, God. I just don't. I mean, I'm trying not to make this something funny here. I want to be truthful, but people just get confused. And young man, you need to understand. That's not all her hair. I'm just being honest. Now, this create problems in a relationship that he didn't know, right? And he goes and he gets married and he find out that was... And then he get a little upset. So how about you don't look the way that you used to look? No, son, no. That's exactly what she was like. If you would have took the time to get to know her, you would have known those things before, right? You would have known that before. You would not have been shocked at your honeymoon. You wouldn't have been shocked. You would have just known that this is the way life is. And honey, if you can't be real with him now, if you can't be real with him now, you just can't let him see you. I can't let him see me like this. You keep on being fake if you want to. Now, I'm using your hair as an example, but you know your personality has got to be real. See, the real you has got to come out. You know, you get upset too sometimes. He need to be able to know that you know I do get upset. Some of the things what you do that was boys say dumb things. That was crazy. What you just said that made me upset. He'll learn to govern himself. You just let him get away with anything now? Oh, God ain't nothing but the truth. Amen. You got to lay down law. If you don't, you're going to have a trouble on your hands. You're going to have I'm just being honest with you. See, we be looking for the wrong things. Don't look for no shape. Don't look for character. Look. You might be sitting next to former cheerleaders in here. And you look at, you was a cheerleader? Was. Was. That's life. That brother that you're looking at might have been he was the jock on the football team. You was the jock. Was. But look around. These things happen in life. That's why you cannot look for those type of things when you're looking for a mate. Look for character, godly character. This is what Ruth was looking for when it came to Boaz. Here, she said, put on your clothes. Put on your clothes. And as she went down there all covered up, she had to go at a specific time. She didn't want her to make herself known in front of everybody. And that, you know, oh, Lord Jesus. That's so different from today. Some of y'all got y'all business all over the place. Y'all business all out there. Internet cannot be trusted. Don't think that when you put something on the internet that it's just stand between you and whoever you send it to. That when you put it on the internet, you just expose it to the entire world. Young people, y'all better hear me. Facebook ain't safe. Right? And now you got more, what's all this other stuff? Twitter. Huh? I can't, y'all saying different things. Y'all speaking in tongues. Tumblr. Instagram. MySpace. Vote. Moco. Uvu. I don't even, Skype. I don't even know all of this, but I'm just letting y'all know, as soon as y'all release it, as soon as you let it go, it's not yours anymore. It's not yours anymore. As soon as you press send, all right, it's not yours anymore. It's not yours. And you can't get it back. Well, I thought I deleted it. It's not deleted. It's not deleted. See? I mean, that's why, you know, you all have to be so careful. Y'all, the devil just wrapped y'all up into this world. And when y'all get in, y'all just, boy. You don't know how that thing gonna come back around on you. That's why it's best don't send it. Don't send it. See? I mean, here, it tells her, cover yourself up before you approach this man. But now we take everything off before we approach a man. To try to get a man's attention, we take everything off. Try to let him see everything. Oh, my God. You leave nothing to the imagination. Nothing. And, you know, I might as well just be honest with y'all. Sisters, can I just be honest? I just have to. It's because the ladies have become so easy that men have started going after men. It used to be a time a man would want to chase a woman. But because there's nothing to chase. I might have kept. Is it all right, y'all? It ain't nothing to chase. You done showed them everything before you even got to know them. It ain't nothing to chase. So it's very easy for him to just, ain't nothing to this. So now he's chasing men. Ain't nothing but the truth. That's where the spirit come from, because it got too easy. I can read it to you out of the scripture. It's in the Bible. That's why we have what we got today. Oh, Lord, I'm getting to step on somebody. I'm getting to step on toes. I know I'm stepping on toes. I know y'all, Lord God, let me just leave you. I'm trying to leave some of this alone. Look, y'all don't be so caught up in the political realm that you miss what God is doing spiritually. Oh, I forgot all the veterans. I wish y'all a happy Veterans Day. I forgot to do that earlier. I really do. Don't get so caught up. A lot of this stuff that we see happening, the homosexuality is on the increase. Our kids are facing every day in school. I might as well just share these things. It's rough on the kids nowadays. They're seeing all kind of stuff, and nobody's speaking up against it. The pulpit don't cry out against it no more. You know, like somebody made a comment, well, we don't agree with the Democratic position on gay marriage and all that, but we're going to vote anyway Democratic. Come on. See, now wait a minute. God's word got to be first. Right. It don't matter who's running for president. God's word has got to be first. See, it don't matter. No matter what parties, and it's got to be God's word first. Got to be God's word first. See, I mean, but now we... And I told some people, now I'm just being honest. Lord, I come up in church, where when you come up in church, in the choir, you always had one or two, three gay people. Or you had a gay musician. And they would be paying that musician just to be there to play. And that spirit just get released in church, because the church did not take a stand 20 years ago. That's why we got the problems that we got today. Now they're coming back to the church and saying, marry us. The church should have took a stand 25 years ago when I was a little boy. But they didn't do it then. Now they can't do nothing now about it. Church, sin is on the rampage. Y'all better be careful about this. Stay with God's word. Amen. God called it wrong, it's still wrong. Amen. Amen. You know the story about Adam and Eve, not Adam and Steve. All right. Look here. Where am I? She was told to cover up herself. Don't open yourself up, but cover yourself up. Cover yourself up. The other thing that she was told to do is mark the place where he lie. And we found this out that when she marked the place to lie, that's the same thing that we do. We mark the place where Jesus lay. He's not laying there anymore. But amen, that day on Calvary when he was crucified for our sins, we marked that place. We marked that place and we know that, oh yeah, he used to lay there, but not anymore. Amen, he's risen again. She marked the place, we marked the place. Now, as we go forward in this, amen, with Ruth and Boaz. Now this, Lord, if I could just get into this. Verse 8 says this in Ruth 3. Says, and it came to pass at midnight that the man was afraid and turned himself. Behold, a woman lay at his feet. He said, who art thou? And she answered, I am Ruth, thine handmaid. Spread therefore thy skirt over thy handmaid, for thou art a near kinsman. Now, when you see this in the scripture about him spreading his skirt over her, this was a sign pretty much saying that, you know, would you do the work of redemption for Naomi? And in doing the work of redemption for Naomi, me being her daughter-in-law, you'd also get me. So would you spread your skirt, or would you, I mean, it's almost, I hate to call it a marriage proposal, but that's almost what it is. Would you please redeem us? That's what, now, I mean, you're a near kinsman. You're able to redeem us. So would you spread your skirt, or would you perform the action of redemption? This is what Ruth is asking for. Oh, God, we need to be redeemed. You know, the devil had us in a pawn shop. And if you've ever pawned anything, amen, you can't get it back unless you go with the money to get it back. All right? Somebody's got to pay the price to get that thing out of the pawn shop. Otherwise, if the price is not paid, it's going to be sold to somebody else and it's gone. See, so somebody has to pay the price. And, you know, church, we were all in the pawn shop. And had not Jesus Christ come and paid the price, we'd all still be there. Somebody else's property. But thank God that he came and bought us and redeemed us out of the pawn shop. And guess what? Once you're redeemed and come out, you never go back in again. Oh, hallelujah. Thank God for this. But, you know, this spreading the skirt. Now, this is, I want to just kind of read a couple things here if I can. I didn't give you all the quote back there, but I'm going to read from the breach. The number here on this is 63-0317E for evening. And the paragraph number is 89-3. Let's just read a couple of these things here, and I want to go forward. Again, 63-0317E, paragraph number is 89-3. Brother Branham says, it says, grace produced the person of Jesus Christ. And we find this book now, God stretched his tent, come from God to become a man. He changed his strain from the Almighty to be a man, to take on the form of man. Now, in the days of Ruth and Boaz, it had to be a kinsman redeemer. She couldn't just go to anybody and ask them to spread the skirt. Right. I mean, she couldn't just walk up to any other man and say, would you spread your skirt over me? That would not. I mean, that wouldn't work. It had to be a kinsman. Only the kinsman could spread the skirt, or only the kinsman could redeem. Let's read this. He changed the strain from that Almighty to be a man, to take on the form of man so he could die to redeem man. Wait till we see him when there's nobody worth. See? All right, in the Bible, the book of Ruth, as you read it, you'll find out such a person was called the Goel, or G-O-E-L, amen, the Goel, was called the Goel, or it was a person that could meet the requirement. And the Goel must be able to do it, must be willing to do it, and must be a kinsman or next to kinsman to do it. And God, the creator of spirit, became kinfolk to us when he became man in order he could take our sin upon him and pay the price and redeem us back to God again. I like this. He says, the goel must be able to do it, must be willing to do it, and must be a kinsman or next to kinsman to do it. I want to just read this because our goel is the Lord Jesus. Let's find out if he was kin to us. Let's find out if he was kin to us. Amen. Before I go forward, I'm going to read a couple scriptures. When I told you all that it's not three different gods, not God in three persons. In order to be three persons, that means it's three personalities. Every person has a personality. It's not three different gods. It's one God. Now, God was a spirit, but as a spirit, he could not die for us. So that spirit had to take on flesh. And the flesh that that spirit took on was the flesh of Jesus Christ. See, that's all that was. But as son, that's the only way that he could die in a body, take on a flesh, be just like us. Amen. That's the only way that he could die for us. But it was God all along. It wasn't. Amen. It wouldn't be right if I had a boy and somebody else did something wrong. But I got a punishment. I got a penalty. Say, if you do wrong, if you sin, this is what's going to be the penalty. And then I say, son, I feel so sorry for this person right here. I'm sorry they did what they did. So, son, if you don't mind, why don't you go die for them? That would be wrong. The boy never did anything wrong. Why would I send that boy to die? It would be unjust. So the only way to make it just is God himself would have to be the boy to come and die. And that's what happened. God took on flesh to come and die for our sins, to be our kinsman redeemer. He didn't stop there after he died. Then he sent his spirit to live in us. But it's the same God all the time. It was God above us, God with us. Now it's God in us, but it's the same God all the time. Not three gods, one God. Let's read here. Philippians 2. Let's read. I just want to read a couple things. He must be a kinsman. Let's find out if he was a kinsman. Philippians 2, starting at verse 5. Y'all just stay with me. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Amen. Philippians 2, starting at verse 5 here. Look at what it says here. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. Who being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation and took upon him the form of a servant. Oh, my. So, I mean, you know, you think about God. He could have come down an angel and set the people free. He could have did that. He could have did whatever he wanted to, but he came as a man. Because, and that's the only way he had to be kin to us. He couldn't just be a spirit. He had to be a man. He came as a form of a servant, left his throne in glory to come down here and take on sin so that we could take on righteousness. Church, this is one of the most beautiful things you ever see in Scripture. Look, was he a kinsman? Yes, he was. Let's keep reading. He says, but it made himself of no reputation and took upon him the form of a servant and was made in the likeness of men. God was made in the likeness of men. How? Through Jesus. And being found in fashion as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. Wherefore God also hath highly exalted him and given him a name which is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow, of the things in heaven and things in the earth and things under the earth, and that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. Read with me in John 1. Did he become our kinsman? This story of Ruth and Boaz is a type of Jesus Christ in us. as you read the story, all the little things that you get out of that, just put yourself in Ruth's place and put Jesus Christ in the place of Boaz. Look at what happens here. Amen. John chapter 1. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. Can I tell y'all right now, when you go back to Genesis and you see God say, let us make man in our own image. You read that in the Bible. You wonder, who was God talking to? Who was he talking to? Well, we read right here in the scripture who he was talking to. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God. God was talking to what we call the Logos. The Logos is a light, a halo of light that, amen, and God as a spirit, we would never be able to identify him. So God became a light. God gave birth to himself as a light, and that light we could identify the presence of God. That's what the children of Israel saw, amen, in the wilderness. They saw a pillar of cloud by day, a pillar of fire by night. That light, that's how they identified the presence of God. Oh, that same pillar of fire, that same pillar of cloud still exists today. Oh, hallelujah. Took its picture with a prophet in Houston, Texas. Amen. God identified himself. That same pillar of fire was there on the day that Paul was on his road to Damascus. And as Paul was on the road to crucify and put to shame some of the Christians, he ran into this great light and say, and Paul began to talk to that light, y'all. Paul said, the light said, Paul, why persecute you me? It's hard to kick against the prick. Paul said, well, who art thou, Lord? He said, I am Jesus. The light spoke back and said that I am Jesus. Oh, hallelujah. Oh, glory to God. Now, if we keep reading this, I'm going to skip down to verse 14 in that same chapter. Look at what happens with that light, that Word that was with God in the beginning. Paul said it was, it told Paul that he was Jesus. Amen. And verse 14 says, and the Word was made flesh. That pillar of fire, the Lord Jesus Christ was made flesh, dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. Was he our kinsman? Yes. Jesus Christ was our kinsman. Was he able to do it? Let's read Ephesians 2 and see if he was able to do it. I like this, y'all. I like this. Was he able to do it? Look at what happens here in Ephesians 2. Verse 1, and you hath he quickened, who were dead in trespasses and sins, wherein in time past ye walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience, among whom also we all had our conversation in times past in the lust of our flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature the children of wrath, even as others. But God, who is rich, I like this, was he able to do it? Because look, you couldn't go to a man that was poor to try to get him to try to redeem you. Ruth couldn't approach some poor man. Boaz had to be capable. He had to be able to redeem Ruth. Now, we have to know, can he redeem us? Is he able? Here we find out in the scripture, but God, who is rich in mercy, for his great love wherewith he loved us even when we were dead in sins, hath quickened us together with Christ. By grace ye are saved, and hath raised us up together, made us sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus, that in the ages to come he might show the exceeding riches of his grace and his kindness towards us through Christ Jesus. For by grace are ye saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God hath before ordained that we should walk in them. Yes, he was more than able, amen, to do it. Amen. He had enough mercy to be able to take care of the situation. Oh, hallelujah. I thank God for that. Not just mercy for me, but mercy for you. Mercy for every generation that needs it. He had mercy. Our God was rich in mercy, more than able to do it. Oh, hallelujah. Was he willing to do it? The Goel had to be willing to do it. Well, we're all familiar with this one particular scripture. John 3:16, God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever believeth in him would not perish but have everlasting life. Yes, he was willing to do it. He was so willing that he left his throne in glory to come down here and die for us. I just want to read a couple more scriptures there. Was he willing to do it? Let's look at Titus chapter 2. Oh, hallelujah. Yes, he was willing to do it. He was willing to do it. Oh, my. Church, I'm just reminded of the struggle that he went through when he went to the Garden of Gethsemane. He was there struggling. Yes, he was willing. He's like, Lord, if it's possible, let this cup pass from me. But he brought himself to a place that says, not my will, but your will be done. Church, when he got to that spot, you got to think, he was thinking about you. He was thinking about me. Everything, all the suffering, all the agony, all the pain that he was about to face, he was going through all that because he was willing to do this just for us. Oh, blessed be the name of the Lord. Don't let what happened at Calvary ever become common to you. Don't let it become common. It's the most sublime thing that ever happened in the scripture, that Jesus would do that just for you. What manner of man is this? He would lay down his life for a friend. Look at Titus 2, verse 11. For the grace of God that bringeth salvation hath appeared to all men, teaching us that denying ungodliness and worldly lusts, we should live soberly, righteously, and godly. I like that. The Bible tells us, amen, deny ungodliness and worldly lust. We was talking about that in Sunday school this morning with the young people. We should live soberly, righteously, and godly in this present world, looking for that blessed hope and the glorious appearing of the great God and our Savior, Jesus Christ, who gave himself for us. Was he willing to do it? Yeah. Look at what he did. Look at what the Bible says. Who gave himself for us that he might redeem us from all iniquity. Was he willing to do it? Yeah. He gave himself for us that he might redeem us from all iniquity and purify unto himself a peculiar people, zealous of good works. I like that. I like that. He gave himself for us that he might redeem us from all iniquity and purify unto himself a peculiar people, zealous of good works. Oh, my church, I needed him to spread his skirt on me. I needed him to do it. And I mean, I was messed up. I needed somebody. If you don't do it, Boaz, who gonna do it? Jesus, if you don't do it, who gonna do it? I got nobody else to do this for me. Would you please just spread your skirt on me? Oh, hallelujah. He was willing to do it, church. Oh, hallelujah. I just love this. I love this. As we go back here to Ruth, I'm going to wind it up here, and I got a little bit more that I want to say. But as we just kind of go back here to Ruth, I want you to see a couple other things. Oh, hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Boaz became the Goel. Boaz was a near kinsman. Boaz was able to do it. He was wealthy enough to do it. Boaz was willing to do it. But let's watch this as we just kind of finish this off, this chapter. Ruth chapter 3. Praise the Lord. Verse 9 says this. And he said, who art thou? And she answered, I am Ruth, thine handmaid. Spread therefore thy skirt over thine handmaid, for thou art a near kinsman. She's asking for redemption. Oh, hallelujah. When you realize that you're in a pawn shop, you're going to be asking for some redemption too. Praise the Lord. Look at this. It says, blessed be thou the Lord, my daughter, for thou hast showed more kindness in the latter end than at the beginning, inasmuch as thou followest not young men, whether poor or rich. Now, Ruth had opportunity to go after some other men. Come on, y'all got the same thing. You know, we got opportunity to go after the things of the world. It's presented to us every day, but it's a decision that we make, that we're going to keep ourselves unspotted from the things of the world. I remember my pastor said, if the world wear green, I'm going to wear blue. I am not going to be like the world. I'm going to stay unspotted from the things of this world. See, I mean, she had every opportunity. She could have went after younger men. She could have went after rich men, poor men. She could have went, but she said, no, I'm going to go after Boaz because he's my kinsman. He's able to redeem me. I'm going to wait for Boaz. Boaz was a much older man than she was, but she wanted to stay with that. Just like this word of God, been around here a lot longer than any of us ever been here. But we're going to stay with this word. I'm not going with some new thing that they come up with today, some new religion or some new this, some new idea. I'm going to stay with the old because the old works. Watch this. Now, my daughter, fear not. I will do to thee all that thou requirest, for all the city of my people doth know that thou art a virtuous woman. Remember, I told you she had a really good reputation. Amen. Look at this. He says, and now it is true that I am thy near kinsman. Howbeit, there is a kinsman nearer than I. Now, I'm going to stop on this one. I'm going to give you all the answer to this kinsman that's nearer than Boaz. I'm going to give you the answer to it. If we can find a quote here at a kinsman redeemer, 60-1002, and the paragraph can be 176. There was a kinsman that was nearer than Boaz. Now, again, this types us. Ruth represents us. Now, there's somebody a little closer to us. But Boaz has to kind of go through this person before he can actually redeem, before he can truly redeem Naomi and get Ruth. There was one closer than Boaz. Oh, my God, my God. Brother Branham told us that there was one closer to us. You know why? Because we was born in sin, shaped in iniquity, coming to the world speaking lies. There was one closer to us. And he's still just that close to you. He come to church with you. He go home with you. He's always right there. Every time you try to do right, this fella's always right there. He's a little closer sometime than Jesus is. Ooh, hallelujah. Oh, my God. Brother Branham said it was Satan himself. He was closer. He was the near kinsman. But the problem about Satan is that he did not have what it took to be able to redeem us. So since he couldn't, since he was the father of sin, he couldn't redeem us from sin. So Jesus could bypass this fella. Thank God for that. Satan, I know we done did some things together, but you can't redeem me. You can't take me out of the pawn shop. You can't deliver me. You can burn me up, but you can't deliver me. I'm looking for a redeemer. I'm looking for a deliverer. And only Jesus can do this. Amen. Satan can't do it. He done caused a lot of trouble. Amen. He can get you into it, but he sure can't get you out of it. Right. Oh, hallelujah. Boy, we might as well tell on that devil. He can get you into some trouble, but he can't get you out. Amen. I need somebody that can get me out of this mess. Amen. Man, I need a redeemer. Boaz, I need you to come to my rescue. Amen. I need a redeemer. Amen. Boaz acknowledged. He said, yeah. It's true. I am a near kinsman. But it's one that's a little nearer than I. Look at what Brother Branham said here. Quickly, let's get down to the end. And we find now that the next morning when she woke up, she was happy waiting. The man came, he went down, he had another kinsman that really had option on the woman first. Have I got time to get that? Well, just a minute. We'll get part of it now. That was 60-1002, paragraph 176. He says, the next one in the parable that had option on you was the devil. The devil had the option on you. Why? Because you sinned. Amen. And first, you belong to him because you're his property. For you were born. As soon as you was born, you was the devil's property. Oh, God. When you recognize this, look, I don't care who your parents are. As soon as you were born, you belong to the devil. And he will use you till you recognize that you're a sinner and you need God. He will. You can come to church, the devil still use you right in church. He'll use you. When you recognize, Lord, I am tired of this old simple nature that I got. I'm tired of going back into these things that I mean, you deliver me from. I don't want to be like Orpah. I ain't going back. I'm going forward. You come to that conclusion that God can get some great glory out of your life. Look at what it says. For you were born in sin, shaped in iniquity, come to the world speaking lies, and he could not redeem it. See, he could not redeem it. So Christ come and was made man to take away our sins, to redeem us. Do you see it? And the other man couldn't do it. The devil couldn't die for sins because he was the very perverter that made sin. See, he could not. He marred his inheritance. The other fellow, boy, I tell you, boy, that's all right. You know, that's a kingdom divided against itself can't stand. Look, Satan don't. I'm gonna try to preach this next week. Satan don't like you. Don't like you. And another thing, he don't want you. Thank you, sister. He just want to use you. This fella is, he got a kingdom, but everybody in this kingdom suffer. They get sick. They die early, right? Satan will give the young people parties to go to and then have somebody come and shoot up the party. He don't like you. Oh, come on out here and do this. Oh, invite you to a movie and then have somebody step from behind the curtain and start shooting at you. Now, when that happened at church, then you stop going to church. But I don't know. In spiritual sense, he do have people come behind the pulpit and shoot negative things at you. But God come here and he's shooting the best that he got at you to try to build you up and make you strong. And that's what God doing. Satan don't like you. Actually, to be just downright honest with you, Satan hates you. He hates you. Y'all might not realize that, but Satan hates you. And he's going to do everything he can to destroy you. He don't want to mar his inheritance. We're going to get into that next week, but man, I'm going to finish reading just this one part, and I'm coming back to it next week. He could not he mar his inheritance, the other fellow. Satan would mar his because he is a devil. He could not become another devil to take away the devil. He could not become another devil to take away the devil, the first devil. He could not become sin because he already was sin. But Christ, being sinless, become a sinner. He could redeem us. Hallelujah. We are redeemed. We are redeemed means to be brought back. We are redeemed. I'm so grateful for this church. This is a beautiful, beautiful story in scripture that types us today. We could see this. I mean, just as Boaz said, no, I can't do it. There's a near kinsman than I. There's somebody a little closer. And that's the same thing. Satan was a little closer, but Jesus went right over the top of that fella to get Ruth. And we're the Ruth that he got today. Thank God. That right there make me want to shout. That make me want to jump. That make me want to scream when I realize what Jesus did just for me. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Let's pray. Father, we're so grateful. We just think about, Lord, what happened there. At Calvary, Lord, you were born to die. Purpose, Lord, so that you could redeem fallen man back to the place that he left. When Adam and Eve, father and mother, Lord, of the human race, they fell. Lord, we were all trapped in a pawn shop. Satan thought it was over. He said, I got him. I cause God's creation, His greatest creation, to fall. They're without hope. They're helpless. They were pushed out of the garden. Had to, Lord, begin to bring forth children and through labor, and when it would have been the spoken word before that. Lord, every funeral procession that we see along the street, every funeral that we attend, every sickness that we have in our bodies because of what happened there in that garden that day. But Lord, because of what Jesus did at the cross, God, we don't have to fear death anymore. We can stand in the face of it and say, death, where is your sting? Grave, where is your victory? Our Redeemer has redeemed us from this. We've got promises that lay in our bones, that even if we die before the coming of the Lord, there's a promise laying in our bones that we would rise again. God, we're so grateful for this. And Lord, as we thank, Lord, that you were able, you were willing, you were our kinsman. You did it, God. You did it for us, Lord. Yes, you did it just for us. Oh, how grateful we are, Lord God. Nobody else could do it but you, Lord Jesus. Nobody but you, Lord. Father, we just pray that you don't let us take these things for granted. Don't, Lord, let us just really meditate on what's been spoken to our spirits. Thank you for the blood that was shed at Calvary's cross. In Jesus' name we pray. Hallelujah. Can we give the Lord Jesus a hand of praise today? Oh, glory to His name. Glory to His name. Glory to His name. Yeah. Amen. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Lord, I appreciate you. Amen. Just sing a chorus of this song with me. The song says, I am redeemed, bought with a price. Jesus has changed my whole life. Say, I am redeemed, bought with a price. Oh, Jesus has changed my whole life. Think about it today. If anybody asks you just whose I am, come on, tell them I am redeemed. Oh, say I am redeemed. I've been bought with the price. Oh, Jesus has changed my whole. Mentioned earlier, don't get so caught up in the political agenda that you miss what the Lord Jesus is doing. This election and some of the elections past, we've had to vote on some things that were totally against the Word of God. And as we continue in our future of America, it's going to get worse, church. Y'all just need to understand that. A couple states passed the law that it was okay for gays to get married. That's just a sign of the time. There's going to be more of that, and we'll see more of it. But Jesus said in his word, he says, as it was in the days of Lot, so shall it be in the coming of the Son of Man. So at the time that our Lord Jesus is to return again for his people, we'll see these things taking place on the earth. That's what happened in the book of Genesis. In the days of Lot, it's going to happen here in our day. Let's not be blind to the fact that God's word is quickly coming to pass. Today, if you've heard the word of God, I want to give opportunity. If there's one that does not know Jesus Christ and the pardon of your sin, I want to give opportunity for you to come to know him today. I want to give opportunity for you to just open up your heart and receive the Lord Jesus into your heart. If you want to make a decision like Ruth, you don't want to be like Orpah. I'm not going to go back to the things that are comfortable. I'm not going back to the world and all the things of the world, but I want to go forward into the things of God. I want to hang with people I've never hung with before. I want to see things that I've never seen before. I want to hear things that I've never heard before. I want to follow the word of God. If you feel that way today, I want you to lift your hand right where you're at. Hallelujah. Right where you're sitting, just lift your hand. God sees your hand. And I'm telling you, if you be sincere with God right where you are, God can make the difference in your heart right now. It's not about coming to an altar. It's not about a public show, but it's about what God does on the inside of you. And what he does on the inside of you will reflect on the outside of you. Right where you're sitting, if you just lift your hand and open up your heart and just begin to talk to the Lord in your own special way, God, I need to be redeemed. God, spread your skirt over me. I'm lost, Lord. I'm lost, and I have nobody to help me. But, Lord, I heard today that you are willing, that you're able, that you can help me. Father, in the situation I'm in, I am lost without hope. But, God, if you would spread your skirt over me today, oh, God, I receive it right where you are. Just begin to ask him, Lord, spread your skirt. Lord, let your blood cover me. Wash me of my sins. And Lord, forgive me of everything that I've done wrong. Just begin to talk to him in your own special way. Right there, he can hear your heart's cry. Oh, I'm going to pray over you, but I want you to talk to him. I want you to be sincere. Invite him into your heart. Lord Jesus, I open up my heart to receive you today. Oh, I come before you, Lord, asking that you would come into my heart, that you would make the difference in me, Lord. God, I pray that you would do it today. I heard your voice. I'm not going to harden my heart, but I'm going to receive what I heard today. I'm willing to walk according to your words. God, you see every hand that is lifted. You hear every voice that is speaking to you. Every heart that is trying to communicate with you right now, you hear it, God. I pray that you would move on the life of these people as they invite you in. God, may you come into their hearts. May you do the great work, Father. May you begin to circumcise and cut away the things of this world. And God, may you come alive in every heart, God. Oh, Father, in the name of Jesus. Lord, we just trust that you would make the difference in these lives. We just commit them to you as trophies of this sermon today. Oh, God, people have heard your word and they're responding to your word. God, respond back to them. You said if we draw nigh to you, you would also draw nigh to us. So, Lord, we ask that you would come near. And may we leave this place knowing, Father, that we've made a decision to follow Jesus. No turning back. No turning back. We're going all the way with, amen, with what you stated in your word. We're not going back. We're not going to be like Orpah. We're leaving this place going forward today. Hallelujah. Let that be somebody's testimony, Father. Give them strength where they need it. In the name of Jesus, God, we commit them to you. We pray for every one of them, Father. Let's give God praise for what he's done in somebody's life today. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Glory to God. Amen. Just a little soft course of that. I won't go back. I won't go back. Hallelujah. I won't go back to the way things used to be. Before your presence came and changed me. Come on, let's sing a little chorus of that. I won't go back.
Say, I won't go back. Can't go back to the way it used to be. Before your presence came and changed me.
Come on, sing with all your heart. Say, I won't go back.
I won't go back. I can't go back to the way it used to be. Before your presence came and changed me.
Sing it again, y'all. Say,
I won't go back. I can't go back to the way it used to be. Oh, before your presence came and changed. One more time, say, I won't go back. I can't go back to the way it used to be. Before your presence came and changed me.
Never going back,
oh, never going back. See, I am never going back. I am never going back to the way it was. Sing it now, never going. Say, I am never going. Oh, I am never going back to the way. Yeah, never going back, never. It up. Together for the Lord Jesus. Hallelujah. Blessed be the name of the Lord.
Let's just pray. Amen. God, we thank you for all that you did here today. Thank you for the difference that you've made in the lives of your people. It's always a blessing just to come to the house of God to hear the word of God. We get strength. We get comfort. We get correction. We get help that we need for this day in which we live. Lord, we're grateful for it. And I pray, Lord, that every ear that heard the word of God today would meditate on the things that they heard, that they would remember it, Lord God, and not just let it go in one ear and out the other is our prayer. God, we thank you for the visitors that sat within our gates, and we pray special blessings upon each one. Look upon Sister Sabrina, Sister Brenda, Latasha, Jerry, Shelda, Camille, Esalamde. Thank you for these visitors that come today, Lord. We just pray that your hand would be upon them, and God, the truth that they heard, may the truth make them free. We commit, Lord, each one into your hands as we leave this place, but not your presence. Father, may we go, Father, being a beacon of light in this dark world in which we live, trying to hold up the light, Lord, trying to be all we can as Christians. But that's our first calling above everything else. We're called to be Christians. Bless us, God, in our stand for your word. Help us, Lord, to love, not to hate, but to love, Lord, to send right out of people's lives, to be able to tell them where they're wrong and show them in your word what you say about it, and let your word make the difference. We commit it now into your hands. In Jesus' name we ask it. Amen and amen. Praise the Lord. Before we leave, I know we have some veterans here, amen, in our assembly. I know Brother and Sister Wisdom, amen, are veterans. Sister Cobb as well is a veteran. My mom was not here today. She's a veteran. Do we have any other veterans here? Just lift your hands if you've served in the armed forces. Okay. Well, let's just give a round of applause to all of our veterans that we do have here. Amen. We appreciate their service. Amen. For our country. Praise the Lord. Amen. God richly bless each and every one of them. You may be seated. Brothers will come at this time to dismiss you. The Lord richly bless you. And we pray for all the visitors that you will come again and sit within our gates. God bless you. Amen.